Our scripture reading this morning will be from the book of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13, beginning with verse 12. I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." It's good to have you with us. We've got several visitors. Appreciate your attendance. When was the last time you were sent on an errand? I can recall one of the first errands I was sent on, and it was by my mother. We lived in the town of Hollis, Oklahoma, about 2 blocks away from the grocery store. And she sent my little sister Shelley and I to the grocery store for bread. Now, to get there, we'd walk up one street and one alley and then come around to the front of the grocery store. And as we were coming up the alley behind the grocery store, there was this humongous wasp's nest in the shed. We used to call them yellow jackets, but we found out when we got to Mississippi what yellow jackets were. Yellow jackets live in holes. Do you know that? These were just wasps. But as we walked by them, of course, we stayed to the other side of the alley, went in and got the bread, paid the 19 cents for a loaf of bread. And coming back out, I decided to show off for my sister. I said, "Shelley, watch this." And I picked up a rock. And I didn't hit it the first time, but one of those times I got that nest pretty good. And they got me. I got stung big time. And we hightailed it back home. Now, my mother had not authorized me to throw rocks at wasp nests on that errand. I was supposed to take my 19 cents plus tax, go to the store, get the bread, and return home as quickly as possible. I just got a little sidetracked and paid the price. Have you ever been sent on a mission? Who sent you? Under what authority? What were you given to carry out the mission? What sort of timetable did you get it accomplished? What we want to emphasize this morning is I am sent. I am not the sender. Look at this verse again. John chapter 13, verse 16. "Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. My father, as I got older, would send me on missions or errands or work details or however he wanted to typify it. I had to go take care of the pigs. It was under his authority. He enabled me with the garden hose or the bucket or the water or the feed, and it was my job to accomplish what he sent me to do. If I got sidetracked, if I forgot, if I didn't accomplish my mission, then animals died. And they did sometimes on my watch. I was held responsible for that. He was the sender. I was the one sent. I like to send packages. I like to receive them too. But when I send a package, I go down to the post office or to True Value, to the UPS, and I pay my fee, and I become the one who has the authority. That package, if it's going to Memphis, like one I sent just recently to my daughter and her husband, that package is sent by my authority and I have at my command little green trucks, little green men. Of course, he works for FedEx. He doesn't like me sending it UPS. that sometimes I even have airplanes under my subjection for $7.50 or whatever it takes to send that package. If it doesn't reach there in a certain amount of time, if it doesn't reach there in the right type of condition, if it doesn't reach there at all, then I have the right to demand that someone pay, right? I am the sender in that case instead of the one sent. To the sender, then, belongs authority. To the sender belongs instruction and enlightenment. To the sender belongs the right to enable. To the sender belongs longevity or the duration of the mission. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm the sender. You are the ones sent. In the process of living with his disciples for 3 years and training them and teaching them, Jesus tried to impress upon him his identity. Why? Why wasn't it just enough that they accepted Jesus as a Jew who was very intelligent? Perhaps a Jew who was not only very intelligent, but also a teacher. Perhaps not only a Jew who was very intelligent, a teacher, but a prophet from God. Why wasn't that sufficient? Why did Jesus have to carry it to the step of, I am more than all of those. I am, in fact, the Son of God. Why? Because in doing so, he impressed upon them his authority. So that at the end of his life, which is where we find John chapter 13 being recorded for us, the last night of Jesus' existence, Jesus was saying to them, yes, I am the sender. And you are the ones sent. You will go out by my authority. You will go out with my instructions. You will go out with the abilities that I have given you. And you will live as long as I have determined that you will live to accomplish my will and my mission in life. Why? Why did Jesus need to say that to his disciples, soon to be apostles? Otherwise, they might misunderstand their place in his kingdom. Majesty. Majesty, kingdom, authority. We sang that. What were we saying to Jesus? Thou art the Son of God. I yield to thee. When Jesus served his disciples and washed their feet on this night, he said, I want you to know that it is not above me to serve you. But in the same evening, he said, but I am still your master. And the servant is not greater. Understand that though I serve you, though I die for you, which they could not understand for some time, I am still Lord. To the one sent belongs not authority. To the one sent belongs not the obligation to make decrees. The one sent must not assume that his talents are his own. The one sent must yield. He is frail to the timetable of the one who sent him. Let's look at an example. And you might not have ever thought of this as being an example, but Peter was in that room that night. His feet were washed, however, somewhat grudgingly, by Jesus. Listen to what Peter says of himself. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I admit that what he's doing here is simply describing himself and possibly describing his readers. How does he describe himself? Does he understand that he is the one sent, not the sender? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen and destined by God the Father, and sanctified by the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. How does Peter describe himself right off the bat? I am Peter the Apostle. What does the word apostle mean? The word simply signifies one who is sent, a messenger. Anyone sent in Christ's name and about his work, but more strictly it signifies the highest office of the Christian church. Matthew Henry said that in his comments on this particular passage. An apostle. We usually put apostle in parentheses, and that's not necessarily wrong, as an office, as Matthew Henry revealed here, of the highest order. We know that when Jesus was training those disciples, that he told them that I am teaching you, and what you have forgotten you'll be reminded of, and that which I couldn't give to you because you weren't able yet to receive, it will be given to you once I am gone by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Counselor. What they understood when their job was finally fully defined to them, and I believe that happened on the day of Pentecost, is when it finally dawned on them fully what they were and who they were. What they understood that we are Jesus's servants. He is not simply smart, a teacher, a prophet. He is the Son of God, and we yield to his power. So that when Peter says, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, Peter understood his position in life. I am not the one with authority. I am not the one who makes up the decrees. I am not the one who takes credit for my talents. I am not the one who determines the longevity of my life. I am Jesus's to be sent by the sender. Now, I said that this is possible that he's talking also to the Christians, that he is saying to them, you too, like me, are chosen, destined by God. And we know that to be the case. God has chosen us through Jesus. You too are sanctified, set apart by the Spirit for a mission. You too are expected to be obedient to God's will. You too are to receive forgiveness, the sprinkling of blood. And may grace and peace be multiplied also to you as you obey and as you walk in Christ's way. Whenever they stood before the Sanhedrin Council in Acts chapter 4, and were chastised by those men to no longer preach in Jesus' name, what was it they revealed to them? Their understanding of who Jesus was. They say in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there is none other name given among men by which we must be saved. Peter continued that conviction in his life throughout. Jesus alone is Savior of the world. And I am on a mission for him. Those today who would set Peter up as the authority missed the whole point of what Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 16. A servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Jesus, though he was willing to wash feet, made it clear that I am Lord. I send you to do my bidding. And I expect you to accomplish my goals. Another example of an apostle. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1 as Paul describes himself to the Galatian brethren. And no, we're not going to go through all 12 apostles, so don't worry. Just a couple. Paul is even more emphatic. He leaves nothing to guess. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 1, as Paul describes himself to his readers. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. As Paul writes this letter, he says, I want you to understand who sent me. Who was it? No man has sent me. If I yield to the president to become an ambassador of a foreign country, then I'm expected to honor what the president wants represented. That's what an ambassador does. If I'm in that country and I'm in that embassy and I come across problems and I call back to the president on his hotline and I say, Mr. President, I've got a problem here, and he details for me a way to handle that, then what am I under obligation to do? He is the authority. I am the one sent. And I do what he tells me to do, or I cease to be an ambassador, right? I understand my obligations. Yet when I stand before that foreign country or before their leaders, and I speak to them that this is the way it ought to be done, I speak for the President of the United States. And they know that though I be short or fat or old or ugly, I represent he that sits in power. I'm not just another person. I am a representative of the President. What's Paul saying here to the Galatian brethren as he writes to them when he says, I want you to understand that my authority and my power is not from man. I didn't get it through men. What's Paul saying? I want you to understand that that which I speak to you comes directly from Jesus Christ. And he's going to deal with some very difficult subjects in the book of Galatians. They're having some difficulties with false teachers, namely Judaizing teachers trying to come in and say, Jesus was a good man, possibly the Son of God, but you've also got to follow that prophet that came before him, Moses, and circumcise your children and keep the Sabbath and honor the feast, and all these you must do in order to be fully in a right relationship with God. Paul is going to say, no, no, no. Moses is no longer the one. His law is no longer that which is in power or authority. We are under Jesus Christ. And so he is saying, I have come directly from the Father. Verse 11, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. By what authority do you preach, Paul? I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. He tells the Romans in Romans chapter 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and designated Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Do you think there was any give in the Apostle Paul when someone said to him, Paul, is Jesus Christ the Savior? Do you think Paul said, I think so. Or do you think Paul said, he's one of them? Do you think Paul said, well, I'm still debating that? Paul didn't have a problem with who the Savior of the world was. He said, by his very resurrection from the dead, he has been designated the Son of God. I don't serve just a man who is intelligent, just a man who is a teacher, just a man who is one of the prophets. I serve the Son of God, and by his authority I proclaim to you his will and his message. Look at it again, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Did Paul understand who the sender and who the one sent was? The servant is not greater than his master, nor he who is sent greater than him who sent him. Now you may be saying, what in the world are we going over and over in this for? You may be saying, I don't get it. Why is he emphasizing this, the sender and the sent business? Because though we don't have apostles alive today, we have their word. And this word is representative. It is the truth. It is from God. And though apostles are not here, we have been sent, you and I, as obedient children of God, to accomplish his will. To go to the store, get the loaf of bread, and bring it home in an expeditious manner without getting sidetracked. That's our job. But there are many today who don't understand. There are many today who don't go to God for instruction or enlightenment, or receive instruction or enlightenment from his word, but then ignore it. or decide that this is what I want to do instead of what Jesus said to do. When I become one who makes the decrees, when I become one who adjusts or alters the message, I become one who is one in authority, and I lay aside the authority of Jesus Christ. I cannot become the sender without dethroning the king. I cannot represent myself and my country unless they are in agreement with one another. Paul said, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I yield to his authority. One other passage along this line, Titus chapter 1, as Paul talks to his son in the faith and describes himself. These men understood their position. Titus chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul understand his positions? A servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Paul knew he only spoke with the authority of God. He only walked in what Jesus decreed, or else he was not a servant, or he was not an apostle. Paul understood he was the one sent. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness. Paul says, I have in my possession not just a message, but the message. I'm not just on some errand, but the most important mission. God has given to me through direct revelation of Jesus Christ, I didn't get it from anyone else, that which will be revealed to you to save your souls. I want to further your faith. The faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised ages ago, and at the proper time made manifest in His Word, through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by command of God our Savior. How confident was Paul that he was the one sent and that his message was salvation? You couldn't have gotten more confident. He understood his place. Paul is described more especially, this is once again Matthew Henry, as a chief minister, an apostle of Jesus Christ, one who had seen the Lord and was immediately called and commissioned by Him and had His doctrine from Him. If I understand what Paul was to Jesus Christ, I see him as he saw himself, a servant yielding to his master's will, one who has been sent on a mission honoring the authority of the one who sent him, never assuming to adjust or to alter the message given by his Lord and Master. I have not the authority to do so. As one sent, I must not take upon myself any self-importance or holier-than-thou attitude. As one sent, I must accept my own physical limitations, frailty of life, and understand that someday I will be gone from the picture. To Jesus alone belongs the truth. His gospel is the fully revealed by the Holy Spirit Word of God for man's salvation. What do you think about that message? Would Paul agree that to Jesus and He alone belongs salvation? Peter said that in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Would they agree that through the teaching of Jesus and the gospel, man can have salvation, forgiveness of sins? What did Peter say? Chosen, sanctified, sprinkled with the blood, receiving grace and peace. Paul said to the Galatian brethren, if any man teaches any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, this is Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 10, let him be accursed. Brethren, are we shy about the truth? Are we shy about standing upon that which is with the authority of God? These aren't just recommendations. These are edicts. These are commands. These are instructions. This is enlightenment from He who is the Son of God. And we must never forget that we have not the right nor the authority to change that which comes from Him. He is the sender. I am sent. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. That's a message of hope, a message of forgiveness, a message of salvation. And we must remember Jesus' words to His disciples on His final night. John chapter 13 and verse 16. The servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Won't you honor Him as Lord and obey His will? Won't you trust in His saving grace? Won't you be baptized into His blood and be raised to walk a new life as we stand and as we sing?